Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to the season finale of the League Wraparound. This is the program that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the National Football League. Coming up on the season finale of the program, we'll give you a recap of Super Bowl 58. Also, we have an interview with Owen Whittleson. Owen is the co-host of the Arrowheads Abroad podcast. The podcast covers the Kansas City Chiefs and the NFL from a United Kingdom perspective. We discuss the Chiefs winning Super Bowl 58, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid, also quarterback Patrick Mahomes, the buzz in the UK amongst Chiefs fans with the Chiefs winning the big game, and of course, the 2024 season outlook for the Chiefs. Also, we have so much more for you, including results from some of the big events at the scouting combine that had just passed. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. I want to start off talking about my top three storylines. I want to start off talking about Russell Wilson. If you haven't been listening to the show for quite some time, I'll tell you that Russell Wilson is one of my favorite, not just quarterbacks, not just one of my favorite players, but one of my favorite human beings. What Russell does for the community when he was playing in Seattle and even during his time in Denver, Russell is head and shoulders when it comes to being a leader, being a solid human being, doing whatever it takes to be a pioneer in the community. And Russell has done it. Russell has been that dude on many levels. Russell, we know his pedigree, right? He was that dude for an extended period of time when he was a member of the Seattle Seahawks. Russell, along with Marshawn Lynch, a.k.a. Beast Mode, also the Legion of Boom, a.k.a. the LOB, with the likes of Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, also Michael Bennett. The list goes on and on, man. Those guys were phenomenal. They played in two Super Bowls. They won one. They lost one. You know about the whole deal with Malcolm Butler, the interception. But during Russell's time in Seattle, very consistent. He had head coach Pete Carroll with him, along with the running game and the defense. Russell was pretty consistent. Russell earned a contract extension a few seasons ago to stay with Seattle. Unfortunately, things didn't work out. The future was not so bright for him in Seattle, so the trade was made. 2 years ago, Russell Wilson traded to the Denver Broncos. And immediately, even before he threw a football, they gave him this massive five-year, $245 million contract extension. Even before he had proven himself, before he even threw a pass, even before training camp began, they would give him an extension. All right, here we go. Russell Wilson arrives in Denver. Nathaniel Hackett becomes the head coach, Russell's first year with the Broncos. We know that was a dumpster fire. We know how that turned out, right? Hackett, one and done as the head coach. So the 2023 season, out goes Hackett, in comes Sean Payton. And I was so excited to see Sean Payton, Russell Wilson together, what they were going to do with this offense. From the reports we heard during the 1 year that Nathaniel Hackett was the head coach, Russell had his own parking space. He had his own office. The wifey, Sierra, and the kids and other family members were coming over, having free reign. But when Coach Payton got there, things were changed. There was a tight ship, discipline, and my goodness, it was something serious. Now, the first several games, really, the first month of the year were very rocky. I mean, the Broncos got off to a very, very rough start. But they started turning it around week four when they were successful against the Chicago Bears. And then the following week, tough loss to the New York Jets. But they were able to get it together by week six, beating the champion Kansas City Chiefs in a regular season game. And my goodness, it seems as though the tide had turned. Now, reports was that the game against the Lions, kind of like towards the end of the season, right around Christmas, or just before Christmas, that game against the Detroit Lions in Week 15, it was a disaster. We saw Coach Payton yelling at Wilson. I mean, man, he really gave him an earful in that one. Week 16, the game on Christmas night, the game on Christmas Eve against the New England Patriots. That was a Sunday night game on NFL Network. Russell played one heck of a game, But remember, football is a team sport. You can't put all that on Russ. The defense, they let up against Bailey Zappe and the New England Patriots, and Denver wound up losing that game. So after that game, Coach Payton and the Broncos announced that Wilson would be benched for the final two games of the season to, quote-unquote, preserve financial flexibility. All right, what we learned from this is as follows. What we learned was that with the Broncos and even with Russell later admitting in recent interviews was that the Broncos were trying to get him to waive the injury guarantee, because if you know about all of the inner workings and the incentives of the contract, there was an injury guarantee that Russell had in his contract. And anybody could correct me if I'm wrong, if you're listening to this, it was, I believe in an interview, he said that right after the Kansas City win in week six, in week seven, it was week seven after the Kansas City game that the Broncos had asked him the first time to waive the injury guarantee. He refused. Then they asked him right before the Christmas night game against New England, they asked him to waive the injury guarantee for the second time. He refused. So that could have been something in that as well. They gave him this ridiculous contract, and I really thought they should have, Coach Payton should have played Russell Wilson the rest of the way. What did they have to lose? They had a slight chance of getting into the playoffs. It was slim to none, but they were in the hunt, and if they went out the rest of the way, they were going to need a lot of help. So let's backtrack for a moment. They got off to a terrible start. Week six, the Thursday night game against Kansas City, embarrassed in that one. They wound up going, they were able, the following week, they were able to beat the Green Bay Packers the following week. Then on top of that, they beat the Kansas City Chiefs at a home game week seven. Then after that, they would have that important game on Monday night beating the Buffalo Bills. Then they would go on to beat the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday Night Football. And it seemed that the tide was turning for the Broncos to have that chance. As I stated earlier with the losses to the Lions and the Patriots, week 15, week 16, it was basically the nail on the coffin for Russell Wilson in his time as the quarterback of the Denver Broncos. So, several occasions during the year, Russell admitted that the Broncos tried to get him to waive the injury guarantee, so if he got hurt, they wouldn't pay him. And it's just a lot of shady stuff. So I'm just going to break down several things that went wrong. Number one, the Broncos didn't want Wilson. If you remember, the Broncos wanted Aaron Rodgers. So in an attempt to try to lure Rodgers to Denver, they wind up getting his former offensive coordinator from the Green Bay Packers. Who was that? Nathaniel Hackett. So the Broncos got Hackett in the attempt to lure Aaron Rodgers. All right, so when the trade happens, Rodgers is asked to be traded to the New York Jets. So that was strike number one. The Broncos didn't get the quarterback that they wanted. Number two, they had to settle for the next available option, which was Russell Wilson. So they didn't get their first choice, but they had to get the second choice, which was Russell Wilson. So they wound up getting Nathaniel Hackett, someone who had not been proven as an NFL head coach as of this time. We know about his success as offensive coordinator in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. So Wilson comes in. The trade is successful with the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle gets Noah Fant. They get Drew Lock. They get Shelby Harris. They get a ton of draft picks, and all of that includes Devon Weatherspoon, who had an amazing year this past season. So, and then on top of that, the Broncos give Wilson this massive extension even before he threw a football, even before he put on his jersey for the Broncos. So strike number two on the Broncos for not giving Wilson an opportunity to prove himself. Strike three, Sean Payton. You know Payton's pedigree, right? The many years he had in New Orleans with the New Orleans Saints with Drew Brees. Him and Drew were like a match made in heaven almost. If you know about Coach Payton's pedigree, you know he likes his quarterbacks old school, drop back in the pocket. Basically, it's all about with Payton, volume over value. Drew Brees gave him a lot of volume in New Orleans. Drew Brees could throw the ball 40, 50, 60, sometimes 70 times a game. And Sean Payton would be pleased with that because when you have an offensive-minded head coach, it's about value, but it's more about volume. And volume took the precedent with Payton's time in New Orleans with Drew Brees as his quarterback. A whole different situation coming into Denver. Russell Wilson, completely different outlook, different player profile from Drew Brees. Wilson's a shorter quarterback. I mean, Drew Brees is barely 6 feet and some change. Russell Wilson is 5'10", but the difference is one quarterback relied solely on his arm and pass protection. One quarterback is great throwing on the run, using his athletic ability, and making plays with his legs. Payton, not much experience dealing with mobile quarterbacks, and it just never worked. It just never worked. The two guys were just completely different, and Payton, I think the moment Payton saw Russell, he kind of, in the back of his mind, he was just like, I don't think this is going to work out. I don't think this is going to be my guy to run my offense. So, Payton. And then strike four, Russell Wilson. Russell, he was in a no-win situation. He was not in a situation where he could succeed. He couldn't succeed with Nathaniel Hackett because Hackett was under the assumption that Aaron Rodgers was coming to Denver. Well, guess what? He assumed wrong. So Russell had to deal with Hackett for 1 year. We know how that turned out. One and done. Out the door. Next year comes Sean Payton. Similar situation. Russell tried his best to make it work. Again, it was a situation where he wasn't able to succeed, especially towards the end where he got benched, which I didn't think it was right at all. But nevertheless, Payton tried with him. It's just the personalities just didn't work, and we know how that turned out. So, man, I mean, people are saying this is the worst trade in NFL history. I don't know. It remains to be seen. We had 2 years of Russ in Denver. First year, dumpster fire. Second year, mixed reactions. The first half of the year, not so good, but they got on a roll the middle part of the year. And I really believe that if Sean Payton would have stayed with Russell the remainder of the year, I think this would be a different story. Russell Wilson would most likely be the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. But hey, there is hope, and Russell, if you know him, he's a man of faith, he's a man of principle, and as this show is airing, he's had interviews with the New York Giants and the Pittsburgh Steelers, two franchises that I think are definitely deserving of a guy like Russell Wilson. The Giants are a good fit for him, but I think the best fit for him is the Pittsburgh Steelers. The defense is there, the running game is there, they have a defensive-minded head coach who's probably not going to keep a tab on Russell. He's just going to make sure that he doesn't turn the ball over and doesn't make too many mistakes. And remember, Russell Wilson is so effective when he's using his legs, when he's using his athletic ability, when he's throwing on the run. That's when he's the most effective. And I think Pittsburgh would give him that opportunity. The Giants would be good too, but I think Pittsburgh gives him the best opportunity. Again, well, why would you not want Russell Wilson, right? Right, Super Bowl champion, multiple Pro Bowler, a man that has definitely done his part in more ways than one. And certainly, Russell, if he gets to Pittsburgh, I hope he does get to Pittsburgh. Man, it would be something. And then, two, financially, the Steelers won't have to pay him anything because the Broncos are going to be feeling the financial burden of that Wilson contract for a couple of years, and Sean Payton's got to get it fixed in a hurry. So now the pressure goes from the quarterback to the coach. But Russell Wilson, definitely a guy that deserves to be on an NFL roster. His pedigree is phenomenal. Solid quarterback, one of my favorite players in the league, and hopefully he lands somewhere where he's going to be respected and he can begin again. And I think he'll have a great, solid relationship with head coach Mike Tomlin. My next storyline is going to be Jason Kelce. 13 seasons with one team, and you talk about consistency. That was Jason Kelce. Kelce played on a position, played a position that is so disrespected in the world of football, and that's the offensive line position. The offensive linemen, they don't get a lot of credit. Let's just call it for what it is. In the league of quarterbacks and wide receivers, our offensive linemen are really looked at as afterthoughts. No one pays much attention to them. However, Jason Kelce, for 13 seasons, everybody paid attention to him. I mean, he's widely often regarded as one of the greatest centers in NFL history. This guy, seven-time Pro Bowler, six-time first-team All-Pro selection, and a Super Bowl champion, not to mention his brother, right, that tight end from Kansas City. He's pretty good, too. And Jason, you know, when you think of Jason Kelce, you think of a guy that's just, you know, high energy, high spirited, a guy that's always loyal. I mean, loyal to the soil. And this gentleman, he is a legend in Philadelphia, and his legend will continue to grow for years to come. And certainly Jason Kelce is the underdog, right? We all love underdogs, and we all love bounce back stories. Jason played running back in high school. He played running back and linebacker in high school, and then when he got to college, switched to fullback, and then he was moved to offensive line, which what he did during the remainder of his college career at University of Cincinnati. And then, of course, he would be an offensive lineman in the NFL for 13 seasons with the Philadelphia Eagles. 6'3", only 295, considered to be small for an NFL offensive lineman. But, hey, it's not about the size of the dog in the fight. It's about the size of the fight in the dog. And Jason Kelce had a lot of fight in him for 13 seasons with the Philadelphia Eagles, as I stated earlier, winning a Super Bowl, being a part of that great team with Nick Foles and company, Darren Sproles. Just anything that you would ask for. I mean, a true leader. I mean, the epitome of being a leader, someone that was anything and everything that you could ask for, not just in an offensive lineman, but in a player, in a leader, and what he's done and what he's continuing to do in the Philadelphia and surrounding areas is just truly amazing. And Jason Kelce, you know, one of my favorite players of all time, and we're going to miss him, but I know him and his brother Travis, man, I think they're just getting started. We see what the Mannings have done, Peyton and Eli, now with Jason and Travis. I mean, this is just going to be exciting, and I cannot wait to find out what's going to happen next with Jason and what he does in his career post-football. And for my last storyline, it's a sad one, Chris Mortensen. Now, for those of you that are listening to this show and probably saying, well, Ed, who is Chris Mortensen? Who is this guy? Well, for those that were born right at the beginning of the social media era and had not had a familiarity with him, anybody that grew up in the 80s and especially grew up in the 90s know about Chris Mortensen and his work specifically being associated with ESPN. Before Adam Schefter, before all of the NFL insiders and league insiders going to social media every hour on the top of the hour and things of that nature, Chris Mortensen was the go-to with all of your NFL news, being the NFL insider. And Mortensen, as I stated earlier, he was Adam Schefter before Adam Schefter. And Mortensen, his broadcasting career from 1983 to 1990, he worked at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Then he later, during his time with the newspaper, he covered the Atlanta Braves, the Atlanta Falcons, and the NFL. Then he worked covering the NFL for a newspaper titled The National, and certainly, he worked there for about 2 years, but in 1991, he had the opportunity to work for this company called ESPN, and that was his calling card ever since. And during his time at ESPN, as I stated earlier, he worked there from 1991 to 2023. And again, he was the insider in being for the NFL. He worked on a variety of shows like NFL Game Day, NFL Countdown. Also, he was a part of a show called NFL Primetime. And Mortensen was the guy. He was the go-to guy for the updates, for the reports, for anything that was happening, injury reports, breaking news, Chris Mortensen was that guy. And Mort, as he was affectionately known as, had a great career. And unfortunately, he ran into a health scare in 2016. He took a leave of absence from ESPN as he was diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer. And during that period of time, he was undergoing chemotherapy and the fight against throat cancer. And he was able to come back and certainly get back to the Mort that we all knew and loved, right? Being the insider, giving us the NFL news, showing up at important NFL events. And Mort was the guy. He was the guy working year-round, giving us the reports, giving us a variety of things that we needed to know in terms of what was going on in the National Football League. And I know Mort was somebody that I highly respected, somebody I enjoyed watching throughout those years. And then in April of 2023, after the NFL draft, he left would leave ESPN again due to some health issues, and of course, unfortunately, passing away as a result due to throat cancer. But our thoughts and prayers are with Chris and his family, and certainly a gentleman that was a trailblazer, especially during his long association with ESPN. And again, Chris Mortensen passing away at the age of 72.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ruben Patel with Patient Plus Urgent Care. These days, it can be hard to find the time and money to take care of yourself. We're here to help with our new Urgent Care membership. Starting at $20 a month, the same as your car wash membership, visit any of our locations for that scratchy throat, runny nose, fever, chills, or any injury. Visit patientplusuc.com/membership for more information. patientplusuc.com/membership.
Introducing new dirty drinks from Sonic. Whatever your fave is, you can now make it dirty. Fanta fans can make it dirty. Dr. Pepper devotees can make it dirty. Even ocean water aficionados can make it dirty. You name it, we can make it dirty. Now you may be asking yourself, how do you make a Sonic drink dirty? By infusing it with a delicious blend of coconut flavor, sweet cream, and lime, of course. What were you thinking? Ugh, get your brain out of the gutter. New dirty drinks, now at Sonic. Fanta and Dr. Pepper are used under license. Limited time only, participating Sonic drive-ins.
All right, and those are my top three storylines. So we're going to transition now into a recap of Super Bowl 58. Man, what a thrilling game it was between the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. What a thrilling game it was. Again, the final score in Super Bowl 58 in overtime. The Kansas City Chiefs 25, the San Francisco 49ers 22. And it was a game that was outstanding, with an outstanding halftime show, just outstanding players doing what they do best. And what a way to end the NFL season on such a high note with a great game. And, of course, a famous pop singer happened to be there, right? And certainly her presence was felt, and both teams made their presence felt, right? The head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, also the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, Kyle Shanahan. Man, this was one for the ages right here. And let's recap this thrilling game between both the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's start off in the first quarter. So both teams failed to do anything on their first possessions. On the next drive for the San Francisco 49ers in the first quarter, things were going really well for the Niners. However, San Francisco 49ers running back Christian McCaffrey made a key mistake early on in the game. Here's how it happened.
They go back to him again. Ball is on the ground. The ball is out. Perlaptis is there for Kansas City. The first signal is a Chief recovery.
All right, so indeed it was a Chiefs recovery. So McCaffrey fumbled on that drive for the 49ers, and Kansas City would get the ball back, but the Chiefs would not do anything, and therefore at the end of the first quarter, it was tied at zero. We move along now to action in the second quarter. So we had Jake Moody making a 55-yard field goal, and it was very successful as San Francisco would take a 3-0 lead early in the second quarter. And he set the record for the longest field goal in Super Bowl history. The record would last only for less than a few hours. We'll touch on bases on that in just a little bit. So Moody makes the field goal, making it 3-0. But here come the Kansas City Chiefs for the time being. Patrick Mahomes doing what Patrick Mahomes does best, completing an awesome pass to wide receiver Mecole Hardman for a first down. Here's how it happened.
Mahomes goes out and going deep, and it's caught at the 10-yard line. Mecole Hardman pulls it in.
All right, again, that audio is courtesy of the National Football League and CBS Sports. Jim Nance on the call. So Mahomes makes a monster completion to wide receiver Mecole Hardman for a big first down. So it appeared that Kansas City would get on the board and get their first touchdown of the game. Wrong answer. It was a turnover by Kansas City. Here's how it happened.
First and goal. Pacheco cuts it outside. Tries to do it a second time. And he lost the football! And the Niners are on it! Unbelievable play!
Right, again, that audio courtesy of the National Football League, CBS Sports, Jim Nance, and Tony Romo on the call. So Mahomes to Hardman was the perfect setup for the Chiefs to get on the board. Wrong answer. The Chiefs running back Isaiah fumbles. He fumbles the ball, and with the turnover, San Francisco was able to get the ball back. And the 49ers, they would take advantage of the turnover. But it would be an interesting score right here. Here's how it happened.
Juwan Jennings, a great play. Oh, the ball's in the air for a long time. McCaffrey's able to pull it down, and he's going in for the touchdown.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the National Football League, CBS Sports, and Jim Nance on the call. So wide receiver Juwan Jennings throws a touchdown pass to running back Christian McCaffrey. The extra point is good, and San Francisco takes a 10-0 lead. Just before halftime, the Kansas City Chiefs would get on the board with a field goal from Harrison Butker. And at halftime, the 49ers would lead 10-3. So now, after we were entertained and having a gut-wrenching performance by Usher in the halftime show, the second half proved to be a lot of drama. But before we get into the third quarter, in the second quarter, 49ers linebacker Dre Greenlaw did not return as he suffered in an Achilles injury, and that turned out to be devastating for the 49ers as the game would continue. So we're now in the third quarter. San Francisco has a 10-3 lead. Kansas City trying to get a score on the board. Patrick Mahomes, unfortunately, messes up on this one. Here's how it happened.
Third and 12. Stepping up and logs it. He is picked off. He overthrew a target. And Brown comes down with it. Jair Brown, the rookie from Penn State, with the interception.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the National Football League, CBS Sports, and Jim Nance on the call. So Patrick Mahomes had his pass intercepted by 49ers defensive back Jair Brown. So the 49ers get the ball back. They don't do anything on the offensive side. They wind up punting. Kansas City gets the ball back, and Mahomes connects with Travis Kelce on a big play. Unfortunately, they couldn't get a touchdown, but Harrison Butker, one of the most consistent kickers in NFL history, was able to make a successful field goal. Matter of fact, the field goal was from 57 yards. And as I stated earlier, Jake Moody had set the record early in the first quarter with a 55-yarder, with Butker wind up making a 57-yarder to break Moody's record. And now Harrison Butker currently holds the record for the longest field goal completed in a Super Bowl of 57 yards. So the field goal was good, and in the third quarter, it would be 10-6, Kansas. And it would be 10-6, 49ers in the third quarter. So the 49ers, again, having an opportunity after Butker makes the field goal. So just when the 49ers were about to kind of get on track a little bit, they ran into another problem, a huge problem at best, and something that was one of the key plays that changed the fate of the game for both teams. Here's how it happened.
Put some odds on that. It's a fumble, and it's a recovery by Kansas City.
You knew something was happening there. You just felt it.
I just wasn't sure what it was.
Nostradamus again.
And now set up in the red zone. Trying to take the lead. Mahomes goes for it right away. Wide open. Touchdown. Valdez-Scantling.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the National Football League, CBS Sports, and also that was Jim Nantz and Tony Romo on the call of that. So at the beginning of the soundbite, Daryl Luter Jr., the returner for San Francisco, fumbled on the punt return, and Jalen Watson recovered the football for the Kansas City Chiefs and had put the Chiefs in great field position. And as you heard, Patrick Mahomes throwing the touchdown pass to Marquez Valdez-Scantling. The extra point was good, and the Kansas City Chiefs now had the lead 13-10. So the 49ers had their opportunity. Again, it was a 13-10. And the 49ers, again, having their opportunity. They got back on offense. Brock Purdy coming in, doing what he needed to do to get the job done. As we marched on into the fourth quarter, 49ers offense looked very good. Brock had a solid game. He had an effective game in this one. But, man, Juwan Jennings, he had a game for the ages. Can you imagine, just imagine if the Niners had won this game, Juwan Jennings maybe would have been considered for possibly the MVP of the game. But Brock Purdy connected with his guy. He found Juwan Jennings, and here's how it happened.
Fourth down. And I think he's short.
No, he got it.
You think so? Reach it out.
He got it.
Okay. That was Reed on the tackle. 1 second on the play clock. Second and nine. Purdy's pass. Caught. Jennings did it. What an effort breaking tackles. Now he's thrown for a touchdown and caught another.
Right, again, that audio courtesy of the National Football League, CBS Sports, and that was Jim Nantz and Tony Romo on the call. So you heard at the beginning of the soundbite, the 49ers went for it on a 4th-and-2. Brock Purdy completed a successful pass for George Kittle. Kittle got just enough for the first down, and then Purdy winds up connecting with Juwan Jennings for the touchdown at the beginning of the fourth quarter. San Francisco's extra point was blocked, and so the 49ers would have a 16-13 lead in the early part of the fourth quarter. And just a little historical note to pass along, Juwan Jennings became the second player in Super Bowl history with a touchdown pass and a touchdown reception. The first player to do it was Nick Foles in Super Bowl 52 with the Philadelphia Eagles beating the New England Patriots. All right, so we move along now to action. So the game is tied at 16 with Harrison Butker making a field goal. That was successful. So now the game is tied at 16. Jake Moody's 53-yard field goal was good, giving the 49ers a 19-16 lead. But you don't cut out the Kansas City Chiefs, and you better not count out Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes' drive, very successful. It was successful to get Harrison Butker in field goal range. He made a 29-yard field goal. It was good. The score was tied at 19. At the end of regulation, the game was tied at 19, sending the game into overtime. What a thrilling finish it was in this game. The 49ers got the ball first. They drove down the field, and they were very successful. But Jake Moody would come in, kick a field goal, very successful. San Francisco would now have a 22-19 lead. But man, Patrick Mahomes, MVPs do MVP things, and Patrick Mahomes did just that. And not just Patrick, but the whole squad handled their business. I mean, this drive was truly phenomenal. Everybody got some in this one. The likes of Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Isaiah Pacheco, Mecole Hardman, just to name a few. I mean, everybody showed up and showed out on the offensive side. But Patrick Mahomes shows that the best gets better and the greats become even greater. A successful drive for the Chiefs got Kansas City into the red zone. It would be a first and goal on the 49ers' 3-yard line with Kansas City to get a chance to win the game and put it away. Patrick Mahomes, man, a master at work. A master at work. And he definitely was a master at work. Here's how the game ended.
First and goal. Mahomes playing catch.
It's there! Hardman! Jackpot! Kansas City! And this was the Andy Reid special. This is the Andy Reid special. We talked about he was saving all day. He's going to fake a motion to go across. And at that moment, he turns and goes back. Hartman, who they didn't have, right?
And they win it by 3 on this touchdown throw to Mecole Hardman, who started the season as a Jet.
All right, that audio courtesy of the National Football League, CBS Sports, and Jim Nantz and Tony Romo on the call. So you heard it, Mahomes throwing a touchdown pass to Mecole Hardman. That seals the deal. And the Kansas City Chiefs repeat as Super Bowl champs. Final score, 25-22. What a festive game it was. It was a game of just drama, action, suspense, and we got all of that. And here are the final statistics. Patrick Mahomes, what a fantastic game. Completing 34 out of 46 passes for 333 yards, 2 touchdown passes, and an interception. And he had 9 carries for 66 yards. Isaiah Pacheco, 18 carries for 59 yards. And he had 6 catches for 33 yards. On the receiving side, Travis Kelce doing what Travis does best, right? 9 catches, 93 yards. Rashee Rice, 6 catches, 39 yards. Mecole Hardman, 7 yards. Oh, and he scored the game-winning touchdown. Justin Watson, 3 catches, 54 yards. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, 3 catches, 20 yards, and a touchdown. Noah Gray, 2 catches, 22 yards. Jerick McKinnon, 2 catches for 15 yards. And on the defensive side for Kansas City, Justin Reed and George Karlaftis both had a half a sack in this game, and Nick Bolton was the leading tackler with 5 tackles. On the losing end for San Francisco, Brock Purdy, solid game, completed 23 out of 38 passes for 255 yards and a touchdown pass. Juwan Jennings had a touchdown pass in this game. Christian McCaffrey, 22 carries for 80 yards, and he had 8 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown. Juwan Jennings, 4 catches for 42 yards and a touchdown. Brandon Ayuk, 3 catches, 49 yards. Deebo Samuel, 3 catches, 33 yards. Kyle Juszczyk, 2 catches, 31 yards. Disappointing performance by George Kittle. Give a lot of credit to the Kansas City defense. George only had 2 catches for 4 yards. And on the defensive side for the 49ers, Fred Warner was the leading tackler with 9 tackles. Jair Brown had an interception. Arik Armstead, Javon Hargrave, and Chase Young all had a sack. Again, the final score in Super Bowl 58, the Kansas City Chiefs 25, the San Francisco 49ers 22. So with the Chiefs becoming repeat champions, this is the first time since the New England Patriots did it in the mid-2000s that we have repeat Super Bowl champions. And this was a game for the record books, and this is a game that's going to be talked about not just for years, but for decades to come. And Patrick Mahomes voted the MVP of Super Bowl 58, and we've got comments now. Here's Chiefs owner Clark Hunt, also head coach Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and of course, Travis Kelce.
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate Andy, the football team, our coaching staff, on an incredible performance. And it's been an amazing 5-year run. I want to thank the Lord for giving us this opportunity. Watching today's game, I couldn't help but think about my parents and how proud they would be of this football team. At their heart, they were the biggest Chiefs fans in the world, and they would love celebrating another world championship with the best fans in the NFL, Chiefs Kingdom. Kudos to the team. What an incredible performance. One of the most thrilling Super Bowls I've ever seen.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, the guys were great. Defense played out of their mind. Huh? How about that D, baby? Our defense played great. And then the O just kept persevering and pushing and pushing and pushing and did a great job. I'm so proud of the whole group. Special teams jumped up in there and dominated right at the end there. It was beautiful. Man, I don't know, but I'm going to celebrate it with these people right here, man. Hey, on three, one, two, three. How about those? Jeez!
Really, just the whole game was just kind of our whole entire season. It was the defense just keeping us in there, and then the offense making plays when it counted. And then, of course, Harrison Butker hitting from about 70. So it was a microcosm of our whole season. I'm just proud of the guys that kept believing. And I'm proud of the coaches for calling up those plays. They got us some touchdowns there at the end. Yeah, just know that the Kansas City Chiefs are never underdogs. Just know that. Yeah, it means the world. Just the whole family of Kansas City and Chiefs Kingdom is special. Brittany's a great wife with two great kids. I can't ask for anything better than this, man. We're Super Bowl champs, Kansas City. I'll see y'all at the parade. Let's do it, baby.
Chiefs Kingdom! Y'all hear this? We've been fighting for all right all day. How about a little Viva Las Vegas? Viva Las Vegas! Viva! Viva Las Vegas! Well, you know, the goal's always been to get three. But we couldn't get here without getting the two and having that target on our back all year. And I love these guys right here. The men that we just won this thing with, family forever, baby. I couldn't be more proud of you guys. And how about it? We get a chance to do it three times in a row. How do you get excited for that, baby? You go party in Las Vegas and get back to it. You got to fight for your rights. Believe it, baby. I'll see y'all next year.
All right, that audio courtesy of the National Football League and CBS Sports. Never a dull moment with Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce. And certainly you also heard Clark Hunt, head coach Andy Reid, and, of course, quarterback Patrick Mahomes in a festive mood as they would put the cap on Super Bowl 58. Again, the final score, Kansas City 25, San Francisco 22. Patrick Mahomes named MVP of the Big One, and it was very celebratory from that Super Bowl Sunday up until the first half of Wednesday afternoon. So, as always, Kansas City or any Super Bowl champions, they have their championship parade. And what started out as a beautiful day, what was the beginning of a beautiful day that Wednesday in Kansas City, of course, fans were all decked out in their gear and ready to celebrate the beloved Kansas City Chiefs. Again, it was a 2-mile victory parade that ran from 6th Street to Union Station. And certainly, it started out as a very festive mood. Fans came out to celebrate their beloved champion Chiefs. They came in, had their jerseys on, number 15s, number 87, and so on and so forth. And, the parade ended at Union Station, where several of the players, the head coaches, and staff members spoke, congratulating the people of Kansas City, the people of the metropolitan area, Chiefs fans worldwide, coming out, showing up, supporting them, and they promised more championships. And just in a matter of minutes, things went from happy to bleak. And we had the unfortunate tragedy of the parade shooting near Union Station. There were 21 that were fatally injured, including 11 children. Three suspects were arrested. Two of the suspects were armed. And one person tragically lost their life. And the person's name is Lisa Lopez Galvan, who was a DJ at a local radio station in Kansas City, Missouri. And our thoughts and prayers are with Lisa's family, and also our thoughts and prayers are with the victims of that terrible ordeal. And it was just such a shame that to just dampen the celebratory mood that was at that parade and what was supposed to be festive just turned out to be so frightening. And again, our thoughts and prayers are with Lisa Lopez Galvan's family, friends, relatives, colleagues, and also the people that were injured in this terrible ordeal. And just not the way you want to celebrate, just not the way you want to do things. And again, we live in a world where, unfortunately, these things happen, and you just have to be on guard. But it was just a terrible ordeal that happened on that Wednesday in Kansas City. But as always, we're moving right along. And again, the final score from Super Bowl 58, Kansas City 25, San Francisco 22. All right, now it's time to have our interview segment. Here's Owen Whittleson, who is the co-host of the Arrowheads Abroad podcast. The podcast covers the Kansas City Chiefs and the NFL from a United Kingdom perspective. He's got some great things to say. Hope you enjoy.
First and goal. Mahomes swings it.
It's there! Hartman! Jackpot! Kansas City! And this was the Andy Reid special. This is the Andy Reid special. We talked about him saving all day. He's going to fake a motion to go across. And at that moment, he turns and goes back. Hartman, who they didn't have, right?
And they win it by three on this touchdown throw to Mecole Hardman, who started the season as a Jet.
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate Andy, the football team, our coaching staff, on an incredible performance. And it's been an amazing five-year run. I want to thank the Lord for giving us this opportunity. Watching today's game, I couldn't help but think about my parents and how proud they would be of this football team. At their heart, they were the biggest Chiefs fans in the world, and they would love celebrating another world championship with the best fans in the NFL, Chiefs Kingdom. Kudos to the team. What an incredible performance. One of the most thrilling Super Bowls I've ever seen.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, the guys were great. Defense played out of mind. How about that D, baby? Our defense played great. And then the O just kept persevering and pushing and pushing and pushing and did a great job. I'm so proud of the whole group. Special teams jumped up in there and dominated right at the end there. It was beautiful. Man, I don't know, but I'm going to celebrate it with these people right here, man. Hey, on three. One, two, three. How about those? Chiefs!
Really, just the whole game was just kind of our whole entire season. It was the defense just keeping us in there, and then the offense making plays when it counted. And then, of course, Harrison Butker hitting from about 70. So it was a microcosm of our whole season. I'm just proud of the guys that kept believing, and I'm proud of the coaches for calling up those plays and got us some touchdowns there at the end. Yeah, just know that the Kansas City Chiefs are never underdogs. Just know that. Yeah, it means the world. Just the whole family of Kansas City and Chiefs Kingdom is special. Brittany's a great wife with two great kids. I can't ask for anything better than this, man. We're Super Bowl champs, Kansas City. I'll see y'all at the parade. Let's do it, baby.
Chiefs Kingdom! Y'all hear this? We've been fighting for all right all day. How about a little Viva Las Vegas? Viva Las Vegas! Viva! Viva! Well, you know, the goal's always been to get three, but we couldn't get here without getting the two and having that target on our back all year. And I love these guys right here, the men that we just won this thing with, family forever, baby. I couldn't be more proud of you guys. And how about it? We get a chance to do it three times in a row. How do you get excited for that, baby? You go party in Las Vegas and get back to it. You got to fight for your life.
Believe it. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League and American broadcaster CBS Sports. The first audio bit that you heard was Jim Nance and Tony Romo on the call of the game-winning touchdown with Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, throwing a touchdown pass to Mecole Hardman to seal the deal for the Chiefs to win their third NFL championship in 5 seasons. And then the sound bites that you heard was Chiefs owner Clark Hunt, head coach Andy Reid, quarterback Patrick Mahomes, and tight end Travis Kelce just sharing their excitement for winning the big one. And it was a celebratory mood. Unfortunately, things went from celebratory to very somber with the recent events that have transpired in Kansas City at the end of the Chiefs Super Bowl parade and rally, where one was confirmed dead and over 20 were critically injured after a terrible shooting that had taken place at the Chiefs Super Bowl, immediately after the Chiefs Super Bowl parade and rally near Union Station in downtown Kansas City. Well, I'm going to bring him back on the program. He's the co-host of the Arrowheads Abroad podcast. It covers the Kansas City Chiefs and the NFL from a United Kingdom perspective. He lives in England. Let's welcome him back to the program, Owen Whittleson. Hey, Owen, welcome back to the program, considering the circumstances.
Hi, thanks for having me back on. Yeah, I just wanted to start by sending off my thoughts and prayers to everyone in Kansas City, all the victims of the event and those at the Super Bowl parade. Obviously, being a fan from over in the UK, I, despite being so far away, I've got such a strong connection to that city. So seeing something like that happen at an event that should be so happy and be a moment of celebration was really hard to see from so far away. So yeah, just my thoughts and prayers go out to everyone at the event and all the victims as well. And a big thank you to obviously all the first responders and doctors who have clearly worked tirelessly to try and limit the impact that situation had.
Absolutely, Owen, and definitely that's the same sentiment that I share, thoughts and prayers, and hopefully, I know that this has been a broken record, and this is not the first time that it's happened, and unfortunately, this won't be the last time this happens unless there's more control, better leadership. I know we're not getting political, but the laws can get tighter in terms of, you know, people possessing their firearms and things of that nature. But man, definitely it's a tough way to transition, but we're going to do our best to transition. And so the Kansas City Chiefs, they win their third Lombardi in 5 seasons. What were your takeaways from the victory over the San Francisco 49ers?
I mean, yeah, it was a tense one. It was obviously being a fan, it was really tough to watch at times, especially towards the beginning, at the beginning of the game. Yeah, the 49ers are playing some really good defense, and luckily the Chiefs are able to limit the amount of points that the 49ers offense put up whilst our offense was struggling. So yeah, it was a really tense game at the start there, and they did get off to an early lead, but just like they've done all season, this Chiefs team rallied and they battled and they fought together, and it was another real team effort. It was a really hard fought and hard battled win for this Chiefs team, and they came away cementing a dynasty with a third Super Bowl ring and the second in 2 years. So yeah, what a team and what a game. It was a real thriller.
Indeed it was one heck of a game. Definitely it's going to go down as one of the best in the history of the NFL, just in terms of just the first, it's only the second overtime game in Super Bowl history. So of course the first one was the Patriots and the Falcons. That was Super Bowl 51 in Houston, and now we had number 58 that had taken place in Las Vegas, and definitely it was one for the ages. And I just want to talk now about some of the players on the offensive side. Isaiah Pacheco, rough start for him. The 49ers defense stopped him for much of the game, but he got going late in the fourth quarter, and especially going into the overtime period. 18 carries, 59 yards. And he also had 6 catches for 33 yards. Give me your thoughts on Isaiah's play.
Yeah, he really really managed to put that first half fumble behind him. He played some of his better football in the latter half of the game and overtime. Yeah, not his like most flashy performance. Not his like, you know, he didn't seem to break too many huge runs, but no, really solid performance from a great player in his second year now, and back to back Super Bowl champion, which is an amazing start to his career. Yeah, I think he's the first starting running back to win back-to-back Super Bowls in his first 2 years. So, yeah, huge props to him for the performance that he put in to help this offense get going. And like I said, really put that early fumble behind him and didn't let it affect him too much. Yeah, great player.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Isaiah had his struggles in that first half, particularly, as you stated, with the fumble, but he was able to get himself together and be one of the key players in that game-winning drive to help the Chiefs win. I want to talk now about Rasheed Rice. Rasheed Rice, again, was somebody that came up big in the second half, and especially in the overtime period, to beat the 49ers. Rasheed Rice made some key plays. Credit to Mahomes and his athletic ability, but Rasheed Rice was able to get open on a lot of key routes. Your thoughts on Rasheed's play?
Similar sentiments to Isaiah Pacheco. Had a really strong game towards the end of the game, catching a couple of nice passes across the middle of the field. Just a great player, really happy to have him on our side. Yeah, there's not much more to say after such a great performance and a great season from the rookie. I think he has the most receptions in playoff history for a rookie receiver, which is a great accolade to have and a great symbol of what a strong season he's had. So yeah, really happy for him and looking forward to seeing his sophomore year and seeing how he develops and gets better from in 2024.
Absolutely. Yeah, Rasheed Rice was really one of the few bright spots during this NFL season for the Kansas City Chiefs, specifically at the wide receiver position. Someone that really was an X factor, not just throughout this whole season, but really in the big one against the 49ers, Justin Watson, 3 catches, 54 yards. He really came up huge in the overtime period. Your thoughts on Justin's play?
Yeah, Justin Watson has been that guy that Patrick Mahomes can go to. Not one of the bigger names or the flashier players on the team, but definitely a consistent target for Mahomes, especially with some receivers having some struggles this season. So, yeah, really happy for him getting another ring on his finger as well. It was just a great team effort, and I feel like all the receivers in that room stepped up in their own ways. Especially, like I said, towards the back end of the back end of the Super Bowl. So, yeah, all the guys stepped up, Justin Watson included. So, yeah, I'm really happy that this wide receiver room in general stepped up when it really needed to. And Watson was one of those guys in there making plays.
All right, another wide receiver in the big one that stepped up in a major way. Matter of fact, he scored the touchdown in the fourth quarter to give the Chiefs the lead. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, it was a tough year for him, missing a lot of key passes and during the regular season, but he stepped up in a major way in the playoffs, specifically in the AFC Championship against the Baltimore Ravens, and then in the big one against the 49ers, catching that touchdown to take the lead in the fourth quarter. Your thoughts on Marquez's play?
Yeah, I mean, he really... came into his own in the playoffs after, like you said, a turbulent season in Kansas City. I feel like battling adversity and coming through adversity and coming out the other end a better player and a better team is something that has lived through this Chiefs team all season. There are countless players who could be considered to be underperforming, and MVS was up there as one of the targets that a lot of Chiefs fans had going into the end of the regular season, because they were just worried about his standard of play. But in the playoffs, he really stepped up. He had a couple of key catches against the Bills in the divisional round, and then scoring back-to-back touchdowns, I believe, against Baltimore and against 49ers. Two touchdowns in the championship game and the Super Bowl. A great player. Stepped up when he needed to when the lights were the brightest. So, yeah, he's a big reason why we're sat here today as Super Bowl champions. So regardless of what he did in the regular season, he stepped up when he needed to, and sometimes that's all you need, especially when you have a team as good as the Chiefs. So yeah, really happy for him to put those doubters, make those doubters quiet, and really cement himself as a strong playoff wide receiver.
Absolutely, and as the saying that goes, Owen, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And Marquez started rough. The season, as you said, the season was very turbulent for him, but what a finish for him, scoring the go-ahead touchdown in the fourth quarter and being one of those key elements to help the Chiefs win the big one. Speaking of a key element, Mecole Hardman scoring the game-winning touchdown. Not just scoring the game-winning touchdown, but most importantly, making a big difference in the game-winning drive for the Chiefs. Three catches, 57 yards, and the game-winning touchdown. Your thoughts on Mecole?
Yeah, I mean, he is one of the most interesting storylines from the Chiefs season. Obviously, starting the year with the Jets, after having a promising 2022 campaign with the Chiefs, and then getting a deal elsewhere, which is fine, it was mutually beneficial to both teams at the time, and then obviously getting that mid-season trade to come back to Kansas City, and then on his return in the biggest game of the year, coming up clutch with a huge catch down the field. In the first half, which was obviously just before the Pacheco fumble, so unfortunately didn't count as any points, but still getting that momentum and really showing that the offense could click at any time was huge in that game, because the 49ers were defending us really well before that. So being able to show that this Chiefs offense can still get downfield and still cause some problems was huge that early on in the game, and kind of made the 49ers rethink their strategy. And then obviously scoring the game-winning touchdown in overtime. A huge moment for a guy who's been on the roster and done it for this Chiefs team for so long. And to come back and have that redemption in a Kansas City uniform after starting the year in a Jets uniform is definitely, like I said, an intriguing storyline. And I'm really happy for him that we were able to bring him back and that he was able to have such a big impact on the Super Bowl, because he's another one of those guys that we wouldn't be here without him and without his impact. So, really happy for him.
Yeah, you said the key word, Owen, redemption. That was one of the themes of this year's Kansas City Chiefs season, and certainly Mecole Hardman definitely found redemption, getting the game-winning touchdown as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll get back to the offense in just a moment. I want to get to the defensive side. A couple of these guys have been clutch during this postseason run, and they were clutch in this game against the 49ers. Justin Reed and George Karlaftis, they both recorded a half sack in this game. Any comments there? Any thoughts that you have on the play of Justin and George?
Yeah, Justin Reed was all over the field in the Super Bowl. He let a couple of catches go, but when you're up against receivers like Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and tight ends like George Kittle, you're going to let a few go. You're not going to have to hold them back all game. But no, he played really well, obviously had some really really key pressures and just brought that energy. I actually watched the mic'd up, the Super Bowl mic'd up on the NFL's YouTube channel. And you just see his energy throughout the whole game and him talking and rallying this defense and willing and spurring on the offense to do what they need to do on that side of the ball. And then, like I said, getting behind his guys and really rallying that defense and showing that he's a true leader of this team as a veteran presence, especially with the team so young, especially with like a really, really young defense full of second and third year guys. So, yeah, to have that presence on the field made all the difference. His energy, and that's not to not to mention his performance with the pressures and the half attack he got. A great all round performance, a real leader on this team. So yeah, really happy for him.
All right, and then the leading tackler on the defense, Nick Bolton. What a season that he had! Very quiet season, but a productive season. He led the team with 5 tackles. Your thoughts on Nick?
Yeah, one of the more underrated players on this Chiefs defense. We were so many guys getting the praise all year, especially towards the back end of the season, because they all played phenomenally as a unit. Nick Bolton's one of those guys that has just slugged it out and just had a great season, racking up the tackles, like you said, led the team in tackles in the Super Bowl. So, a great player on a great defense, and like I said, one of those quieter guys who doesn't get as much attention, but that might sometimes play in his favour because people aren't going to be keyed up on him as much and not going to be have their eyes on him as much as they would be some of the other players on that team. So yeah, he's played really well, had a great season, and he's got a Super Bowl ring at the end of it. He had a great performance in the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. And speaking of somebody that came up huge, hey, Travis Kelce. I mean, there was a lot of attention on the current person that he's with, but hey, Travis, he stepped up, man. I mean, he had a little skirmish with the head coach. He apologized for that. He showed up, and he showed out. 9 catches, 93 yards. Your thoughts on Travis?
Yeah, he's another guy that kind of silenced the doubters who thought he wasn't himself in the regular season. He really played well throughout all the postseason games, that whole playoff run. He played unbelievable football, and especially in the Super Bowl, he had some great catches. A really key one across the field in overtime to take the ball down to like the 13-yard line with about 10 seconds to go, I believe it was that play. He had some really, really important plays down the stretch. A great player, one of, if not the greatest tight end that's ever stepped foot on a football field. So, another great run for him. And long may it continue in Kansas City. I hope he sticks around and keeps playing for Big Red in Kansas City and they can keep doing what they do because it's a winning combination at the moment. So, I hope he continues to perform at the level he is and keeps bringing those accolades for himself because he deserves it.
Yeah, man, the best just continues to get better, and Travis Kelce is definitely someone in his prime, and as you said, knock on wood, he's got an opportunity to be the greatest tight end of all time. There have been some great ones, Shannon Sharp, Rob Gronkowski, my gosh, just to name a few, and certainly Kelce definitely has the opportunity to be at the top. If not one, I mean, he's already one of the best, and speaking of being one of the best with the potential to be the best or the GOAT, the GOAT, Patrick Mahomes, he completed 34 out of 46 passes for 333 yards, 2 touchdown passes, and an interception. He was just magnificent in that fourth quarter and in the overtime drive. Now, say what you want about, the 49ers defense was effective, but Patrick Mahomes, too much. Thoughts on Mahomes?
Yeah, I mean, he's had such a great run these past 6 years. A sensational player. We might not have seen a talent like him in the NFL before. The way he plays football is just different. Obviously, there's still an argument to be had that there are a couple of guys better than him. I personally agree. I don't think he's quite there yet on that number one spot, like amongst the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I don't think he's there yet. But he's certainly making a case to be in the top three now, along with Brady and Montana. So, a sensational player. He can do everything. He can make things happen when there's doubt across whether it's the Chiefs fans or the opposing team's fans or anyone in the NFL watching the game. When there's doubt sprinkled in there, he just seems to put all that aside and doesn't let it affect him. And he goes out there and he plays and he just makes things happen. And he really willed this team to that Super Bowl victory, especially, like you said, in the fourth quarter and overtime. It felt like a game that he just did not want to let slip away from him, no matter how much the odds were stacked against him. So he put that early interception aside because it wasn't his greatest play. It was a bit of an overthrow on his part when it should have just been put straight in Travis Kelce's hands. But he overshot that one. But he put that behind it, and like Pacheco with the fumble, he didn't let it affect the rest of his game, and he went out there and he played even better afterwards. So. And what can you say about that overtime drive, getting all the way down the field and putting the ball in the end zone for Hardman? Just an unbelievable player, and it's great to see him lift another Lombardi in a Chiefs uniform, and hope there's plenty more to come because he deserves it. He's special.
Absolutely, he is special, Owen. And again, he's one of those once in a lifetime talents as you described them. I want to stay with Patrick for a moment. So you mentioned the stat that Patrick winning his third Super Bowl MVP, that puts him with Tom Brady and Joe Montana as the only quarterbacks with 3 Super Bowl MVPs. I guess when it's all said and done, I know it's still very early, and I don't think he's even hit his prime yet, but when it's all said and done, will he be the GOAT? Will he pass Brady? What's the potential?
I mean, the sky's the limit with him at quarterback, so it's really hard to say. Obviously, Brady went, a decade without winning a Super Bowl and still managed to pick up 7 during his long career. So there's a way to go for Mahomes, I'll put it that way. He's got a lot more to achieve in the NFL if he wants to truly get that GOAT status, but he's got loads of time to do it in as well. He's only 28 years old. Like you said, he might not have entered his prime yet, which is a really scary thought for the rest of the league because he'll only keep getting better. And on a year like this year when everyone doubted him and his team to get it done and to put on another good playoff run, let alone get to the Super Bowl and win it. For him to still pull through and still win that Super Bowl when everyone doubted him and the team that Kansas City had built this year and the struggles they faced, it's all the more so impressive because he's done it with a team that a lot of people doubted. The defense played us phenomenally all season, but offensively there were struggles. So to come back and battle through that and to still win a Super Bowl at the end of it against some amazing competition in the AFC playoffs and then in the Super Bowl against a really, really strong 49ers team, it's just credit to him and the hard work he puts in. But yeah, we'll see about the whole GOAT conversation. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm just trying to enjoy it in the moment. And, you know, I think he's got every chance to do that and to certainly get a couple more rings under his belt. And then we'll see later on down the line.
Absolutely. You definitely have every right to enjoy the moment. Owen and Chiefs fans are definitely enjoying this moment right now. And Patrick is definitely at the peak of his powers right now. And certainly, it's again, as you said, the sky is the limit, and certainly, hey, we'll know what happens. I mean, again, he has not hit the prime of his career as of yet. And certainly, the best is definitely yet to come for Patrick Mahomes. And speaking of man, still at the peak of his powers, head coach Andy Reid. You talk about someone that again, that 49ers defense, give them a lot of credit. They really shut down the Chiefs offense for much of the game until late in the third quarter. That's when Andy Reid and his offensive staff, the offensive coordinator, Matt Nagy, they really had to get things together, and it really got Patrick going, Travis, Isaiah, and the crew. That's when things really got going, and that's a lot of credit to the coaching of Andy Reid. Give me your thoughts on Coach Reid and his performance against the 49ers.
Yeah, he played a really good game and schemed a really good game, especially towards the end. The 49ers defense had our number in the first quarter, especially with it being a scoreless game in the first quarter, and then managed to hold us just 3 points in the second quarter. So finishing the half with only 3 points on the board is a really good performance from the 49ers defense. And then to come out and do what we did in the second half and overtime was just a credit to the kind of coach he is. I mean, it's like the third Super Bowl in a row where this Chiefs team led by Andy Reid has come back from a 10-point deficit to win the game. His adjustments are incredible and second to none. His ability to stay in games and to stay competitive even when the odds are against him, being down 10 points in three straight Super Bowls and winning is unbelievable. I think there's been like 7 10-point comebacks in a Super Bowl where the team wins from a 10-point deficit, and the Chiefs have three of them, and that's across NFL history. So, yeah, it's unbelievable what he did. And just got to hope that he stays in Kansas City for longer and keeps playing really good football.
Well, Owen, Andy Reid and Travis Kelce, they've confirmed they will be back for the 2024 season. And also, Chris Jones is going to be back. He got an extension. And also, Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, he also got a contract extension as well. So I know it's premature, and I know you're still in the moment, but I want to ask you about the contract extension specifically of Chris Jones and also the defensive coordinator, Spagnuolo. What does this mean for the Chiefs in 2024?
Yeah, I mean, it's time to start considering Steve Spagnuolo as one of the best defensive coordinators the NFL has ever seen. He's such a great coach and has really led this defense throughout the last, what is it now, 5 years, 4 years. Obviously, now a three-time champion with the Chiefs, and what a turnaround he's made this Chiefs defense, what he used to be. I remember Mahomes' first season as a starter in 2018 when it was the defense that let him down because he had a 5,000 yards, 50 touchdown season, but it was that defense that he just couldn't get over the line. So then we bring Steve in the next season, and he just turns the team around and turns that side of the ball around. The extension is more than deserved. He's had such a good run in Kansas City, and it was such good news waking up, I think it was the day after the Super Bowl, and finding out that he had got that extension. So great for this team. Great as a fan, knowing that he's going to be back in the building next year. And great for the defense as well, to have a guy that they clearly rallied around. Especially in the playoffs with those in Spags We Trust t-shirts that Justin Reid and some of the other defensive players were rocking. yeah, just a credit to the kind of guy he is and the coach he is, because he's really turned his team around, and it'll be great to have the guys rally around him again as we go on another Super Bowl run.
Rightfully so. It's all about, normally when a team wins a championship, you know, there's the unfortunate end where you lose a lot of those core players, but Kansas City bringing back Chris Jones, also the defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo, and of course a lot of those guys are under contract. Mahomes, Kelce, Pacheco is still in his rookie contract, so a lot of the core guys will indeed be back for 2024. We'll get into 2024 in just a little bit, but where you're located in the United Kingdom, Owen, I got to ask you, what's the buzz like in the UK amongst Chiefs fans with them winning the Lombardi again?
Yeah, I mean, our little community over here in the UK are absolutely buzzing, obviously. There's a big group of us down in I wasn't there, unfortunately, but there's a big group down in Liverpool for the Super Bowl night. They had a great time. They went and played some mini golf before the game, and they had a great night, obviously, with the Chiefs winning. Sadly, like I said, I wasn't able to get down there myself, but it's good. Obviously, we are still reeling from the event, but Super Bowl on its own, what a fantastic thing for us fans over in the UK to enjoy. It's been a great season for us, and we've enjoyed every second of the ride, although it's been a roller coaster.
Yeah, it has been a roller coaster indeed, but I know you've mentioned a couple of times since you've been on the show, Chiefs fans definitely had the opportunity to take part in the international series when the game was played in Frankfurt, Germany. I know that you and a couple of the guys at Arrowheads Abroad had an opportunity to check that out. I bet that was amazing. And of course, with them winning the big one, and you guys in the UK had the opportunity to celebrate. So now it's here. Well, now the Chiefs, they've won the big one. And now, the outlook for 2024, Mahomes, Reed, Kelce, Jones, Spagnuolo, the rest of the crew, they're going to be back in 2024. Pacheco's going to be back. He's under a rookie contract. But the Chiefs, listen, the AFC, just not just the NFL, the AFC alone, Owen, is going to be tough. Joe Burrow will be healthy. Aaron Rodgers will be healthy. Lamar Jackson's going to have something to say. Also, Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, just to name a few. What do you see the Chiefs in 2024?
I mean, it's really, really tough to say. I feel like I've not even allowed myself to look at the 2024 season just yet. I'm still busy enjoying this one and enjoying the Super Bowl victory. And like I said, we went through an absolute gauntlet in the AFC playoff run. We're going against a Dolphins team that has played some fantastic football all year. Arguably the best offense in the NFL for the majority of the season, and then to go into Buffalo and beat them was a really satisfying feeling. Obviously, Mahomes' first true playoff road game was great, and then to then bounce from that to go straight to Baltimore and beat them as well, obviously with the MVP, Lamar Jackson. So, yeah, I feel like the AFC was hard enough this year, and we managed to get through them and get back to another Super Bowl and make it to Las Vegas. So I feel like anything's possible when you have Andy Reid, Mahomes, and Travis Kelce on this team. So obviously the AFC is going to get better with Joe Burrow coming back from injury and CJ Stroud having another year under his belt as well, because he's a fantastic quarterback. So yeah, obviously everyone's going to try and get better, but they're going to get better to try and beat this Chiefs team, because this was meant to be someone else's year, and we went out there and took it. We went out there and stole it from them. So, yeah, really happy with how the season turned out. And like I said, after the way it panned out for the Chiefs, I feel like anything's possible. So, yeah, bring it on. I'm looking forward to seeing what the rest of the AFC teams have got next season.
Yep, you said it best. And definitely it was a year that no one expected the Chiefs to do it, but they did it, and certainly 2024 is going to be interesting for Kansas City. But in the meantime, let's enjoy this win, and I know you and Chiefs fans, not just in the UK, but worldwide, you're definitely living in the moment, and rightfully so, definitely deserving of it. And you heard it from him. He's Owen Whittleson, co-host of the Arrowheads Abroad podcast, where the podcast covers the Kansas City Chiefs from a United Kingdom perspective. And Owen, again, thank you so much. Just tell everybody what's going on over at Arrowheads Abroad.
Yeah, so like I said, we have meetups during the season, and they're really good fun, whether it's in the UK or if we make it out to to another country like we did this year with Frankfurt. We went to Kansas City the year before that to watch Chiefs Raiders in 2022. So, yeah, we're a great little group of guys and girls as well. We also do a podcast, more so in the regular season, but we still churn out those episodes in the off-season as well. Yeah, we just have a laugh, talk about what it's like being Chiefs fans from over in the UK. So if you're American and you want that alternative opinion and perspective, then feel free to give us a listen, because yeah, we have a lot of fun doing what we do, and we just do it for the love of the Chiefs and the love of the sport. So yeah, I'm really forward to seeing what this off-season has for the guys, and looking forward to start building towards the 2024 season.
Absolutely. Owen, tell everybody where they can find you on social media and any websites. Let the listeners know that as well.
So it's at @KCChiefs_UK on Twitter for Arrowheads Abroad. And then we're just Arrowheads Abroad on Facebook. We've got a great little community over there. So come and get involved. It's pretty good fun.
Awesome. One last question before I let you go. Super Bowl Sunday is the day where everybody has their spread. Everybody eats different things in terms of the big one. What was the spread like? What did you have for the big one?
Hey, we were just eating W's over in the UK watching this Chiefs win the Super Bowl. But in terms of food, I like a few chicken wings on Super Bowl Sunday. I have some pretzels and some hummus and the odd beer here and there to wash it all down and tie things over for the big game. So, yeah, I like my American food, especially on Super Bowl Sunday. But, yeah, big chicken wing guy.
Awesome. And you heard it from him. He's Owen Whittleson, co-host of the Arrowheads Abroad podcast, where they cover the Kansas City Chiefs and the NFL from a United Kingdom perspective. Owen, this is a great season, my man. Thank you so much once again.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. It's always fun.
First and goal. Mahomes playing catches.
It's there! Hardman! Jackpot! Kansas City! And this was the Andy Reid special. This is the Andy Reid special. We talked about he was saving all day. He's going to fake a motion to go across. And at that moment, he turns and goes back. Hardman, who they didn't have, right?
And they win it by three on this touchdown throw to Mecole Hardman, who started the season as a Jet.
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate Andy, the football team, our coaching staff, on an incredible performance. And it's been an amazing five-year run. I want to thank the Lord for giving us this opportunity. Watching today's game, I couldn't help but think about my parents and how proud they would be of this football team. At their heart, they were the biggest Chiefs fans in the world, and they would love celebrating another world championship with the best fans in the NFL, Chiefs Kingdom. Kudos to the team. What an incredible performance. One of the most thrilling Super Bowls I've ever seen.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, the guys were great. Defense played out of mind. How about that D, baby? Our defense played great. And then the O just kept persevering and pushing and pushing and pushing and did a great job. I'm so proud of the whole group. Special teams jumped up in there and dominated right at the end there. It was beautiful. Man, I don't know, but I'm going to celebrate it with these people right here, man. Hey, on three, one, two, three. How about those? Chiefs!
Really, just the whole game was just kind of our whole entire season. It was the defense just keeping us in there, and then the offense making plays when it counted. And then, of course, Harrison Butker hitting from about 70. So it was a microcosm of our whole season. I'm just proud of the guys. They kept believing. And I'm proud of the coaches for calling up those plays. They got us some touchdowns there at the end. Yeah, just know that the Kansas City Chiefs are never underdogs. Just know that. Yeah, it means the world. Just the whole family of Kansas City and Chiefs Kingdom is special. Brittany's a great wife with two great kids. I can't ask for anything better than this, man. We're Super Bowl champs, Kansas City. I'll see y'all at the parade. Let's do it, baby.
Chiefs Kingdom! Y'all hear this? We've been fighting for all right all day. How about a little Viva Las Vegas? Viva Las Vegas! Viva! Viva Las Vegas! Well, you know, the goal's always been to get three. But we couldn't get here without getting the two and having that target on our back all year.
And I love these guys right here. The men that we just won this thing with, family forever, baby. I couldn't be more proud of you guys. And how about it? We get a chance to do it 3 times in a row. How do you get excited for that, baby? You go party in Las Vegas and get back to it. You got to fight for your right. Believe it, baby. I'll see y'all next year.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ruben Patel with Patient Plus Urgent Care. These days, it can be hard to find the time and money to take care of yourself. We're here to help with our new Urgent Care membership. Starting at $20 a month, the same as your car wash membership, visit any of our locations for that scratchy throat, runny nose, fever, chills, or any injury. Visit patientplusuc.com/membership for more information. patientplusuc.com/membership. Hi, I'm Dr. Ruben Patel with Patient Plus Urgent Care. These days, it can be hard to find the time and money to take care of yourself. We're here to help with our new Urgent Care membership. Starting at $20 a month, the same as your car wash membership, visit any of our locations for that scratchy throat, runny nose, fever, chills, or any injury. Visit patientplusuc.com/membership for more information. patientplusuc.com/membership. Hi, I'm Dr. Ruben Patel with Patient Plus Urgent Care. These days, it can be hard to find the time and money to take care of yourself. We're here to help with our new Urgent Care membership. Starting at $20 a month, the same as your car wash membership, visit any of our locations for that scratchy throat, runny nose, fever, chills, or any injury. Visit patientplusuc.com/membership for more information. patientplusuc.com/membership.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale. For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
All right, everybody. Once again, a big special thank you to Owen Whittleson, the co-host of the Arrowheads Abroad podcast. The podcast covers the Kansas City Chiefs and the NFL from a United Kingdom perspective. Great insight from Owen about his beloved Chiefs winning the big game. And, of course, he's talking about some of the players such as Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, also head coach Andy Reid, and the buzz in the U.K. amongst Chiefs fans with Kansas City winning the big game. Once again, a big special thank you to Owen for appearing on the program. Before we get on out of here, the scouting combine recently wrapped up in men. I just want to bring up some of the players that really made a big difference and really made a big presence, at this year's scouting combine. Xavier Worthy, his 40-yard dash time was 4.21 seconds. That is correct, folks. His 40-yard dash time was a 4.21 seconds. Big ups to Xavier Worthy, the rookie wide receiver out of the University of Texas. Of course, he now holds the record for the fastest 40-yard dash time in the history of the scouting combine. Of course, John Ross had the record previously. His record, I believe, was 4.24 seconds, but now Xavier Worthy has the record with 4.21 seconds. Also, some honorable mentions to pass along with fast 40-yard dash times. Nate Wiggins, cornerback out of Clemson. His time was 4.28 seconds. Also, Isaac Garindo from Louisville. His time was 4.33 seconds. Also, Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo. He had the same 40-yard dash time alongside Brian Thomas Jr., the hotshot wide receiver from LSU. And then the Texas wide receiver, Adonai Mitchell, his 40-yard dash time was 4.34 seconds. So, but man, those guys are fast. But Xavier Worthy was just top tier when it comes to having the fastest 40-yard dash time so far in the history of the scouting combine, with setting the record with a time of 4.21 seconds. And my goodness, man, I got to tell you, scouting combine, it's a job interview for a lot of these, a lot of the players wanting to get into the NFL, a lot of players wanting to get in, wanting to make their presence felt, try to make a first impression for potential, make the possible, make a first impression on their potential first employers and the head coaches and things of that nature. But clearly, the highlight of that scouting combine during that weekend was Xavier Worthy of running that 40-yard dash time. And of course, Bo Nix participated in his workouts. J.J. McCarthy participated in his workouts as well. Also, Blake Corum was there. So certainly a lot of the guys made a big difference. Also, Daquan Hardy had a really good workout during the combine. I mentioned his name earlier, Isaac Garindo, running back for Louisville. He was solid as well. And that's going to wrap it up. It's the season finale of the league wraparound. I want to thank you. I want to give a great special thank you to you, the listeners, during this fantastic NFL season. You've been great. You're outstanding. Thank you so much for your support. And we're going to keep on going, and we'll talk to you again in the new season, that's right, of the league wraparound. Until next time, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long. You take care, and we'll talk to you again soon. Have a great one.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ruben Patel with Patient Plus Urgent Care. These days, it can be hard to find the time and money to take care of yourself. We're here to help with our new Urgent Care membership. Starting at $20 a month, the same as your car wash membership, visit any of our locations for that scratchy throat, runny nose, fever, chills, or any injury. Visit patientplusuc.com/membership for more information. patientplusuc.com/membership. Hi, I'm Dr. Ruben Patel with Patient Plus Urgent Care. These days, it can be hard to find the time and money to take care of yourself. We're here to help with our new Urgent Care membership. Starting at $20 a month, the same as your car wash membership, visit any of our locations for that scratchy throat, runny nose, fever, chills, or any injury. Visit patientplusuc.com/membership for more information. patientplusuc.com/membership.
It's Kubota Orange Days, your golden opportunity to score a deal that'll make your neighbors green with envy. Shop the year's best selection of Kubota tractors, zero-turn mowers, and utility vehicles, including the number one selling compact tractor in the USA. And get the year's best deals, like 0% APR for 84 months or up to $3,300 off L3302 tractors.
Visit your local Kubota dealer today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ruben Patel with Patient Plus Urgent Care. These days, it can be hard to find the time and money to take care of yourself. We're here to help with our new Urgent Care membership. Starting at $20 a month, the same as your car wash membership, visit any of our locations for that scratchy throat, runny nose, fever, chills, or any injury. Visit patientplusuc.com/membership for more information. patientplusuc.com/membership. Hi, I'm Dr. Ruben Patel with Patient Plus Urgent Care. These days, it can be hard to find the time and money to take care of yourself. We're here to help with our new Urgent Care membership. Starting at $20 a month, the same as your car wash membership, visit any of our locations for that scratchy throat, runny nose, fever, chills, or any injury. Visit patientplusuc.com/membership for more information. patientplusuc.com/membership.